All right, so let's take on Lamed Aleph on the Beis in Brachos. He has this Lamed Tes in this Sefer. Al Titein Es Amitchof Nei Bas V'Lial. Yeah. So it's by Chana. Titein Es Amosecho Lefnei Bas V'Lial. So it means to say, he says she was davening, right? And she wasn't moving, famously, she wasn't moving her, she wasn't enunciating it. So Eli thought she was drunk. So he says, so she says to him, no, don't say that I'm a Bas Belial. Okay? So the Gemara says, Omar Belazim, Mikan, the Shikar, Shemispalel, Ki'ilu Ovid Ozar. Right now, as he was accusing, he thought she was Shikar. And she said, I'm not a Bas Belial. So that means Belial is the term for someone who's mispalo when they're drunk. So Rabbi Loza says, from here you see that the shikr who davens is like he's over the Vazar. Ksiv hacha Belial. Uksiv hosom yotsu anoshim b'nei Belial. Okay, that's by the... by Yirin Zachas. Malahol Avodah Zorah Afkan Avodah Zorah. Okay. Yeah. So what does that mean? That if you daven, if a person is spalel, when he's drunk, it's ki'ilu Avodah Zorah. So he says like this. Min ha'mefursam shehashikros mevalvel es hadas. Everybody knows, it's a known fact, that intoxication mixes up the das. Ache mevi lide kefira bemis. So a person who is drunk, his das is mixed up, and sometimes he'll deny the truth. It brings him to the point of denying what's true. Ubeho da b'sheker, and admitting to what is a lie, agreeing with what's a lie. V'al derech ha-moshel k'mo sh'omru eino makir b'im baruch Mordechai l'arom. And that's what the Gemara says what's the as a moshel. The Gemara gives that as a moshel. Now what is the shear of shikras? Yimavalvel the emes. Means you admit to something that's false and you'll deny something that's true. So it's given as a moshel that a person is drunk when he doesn't know the difference between the Baruch Mordechai and the Ohr HaMoed. The Yira Dimyonim Dimyonos Kozvim. And he'll see similarities that are false. Appearances, things that seem to him to be true, but he'll see that they're Kozvim, they're really lies. Umisha Omed Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Tefillah V'Hu Shikar. So now if someone is standing in Tefillah Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is a shikar. Shema mitoch bilbul daito yavo ledimyonos kozvim vizuhi avodah zarah bemes. He says, what's going to happen? He'll be mispalel, he'll be omer lefnei Hashem in tefillah, but he's a shikar. And then maybe from the confusion of his das, because of the shikras, he'll come to some sort of dimyon kozev, some sort of appearance that's false, and that is avodah zarah bemes. In other words, he's trying to explain when it says that the shikar is ki'ilu avodah zarah, right? It's ki'ilu avodah zarah. So what does it mean? It means that it's not per se avodah zarah, but it has that capacity. It has the ability to become of a czar within it. So he's trying to explain how. All right, so let's just think about it a little bit. Let's just see if we can get a little deeper into it. I mean, it's an interesting point. Certain sense, I think it's somewhat obvious to us, but still, the way he's pulling it out, I think there's something a little more to think into here. I mean, most people don't think that they feel that even though they had a little drink, they could really pull themselves together and daven. People are not so nizer in this, I've seen. Even people who seem very scrupulous in mitzvahs. I think you think about yourself. Like, think about yourself. Look, I'm not. I know what's right, so I'm a little tipsy, right?
Especially in that state.
Pull myself together and daven. Yeah,
I could drive.
I can drive. Yeah.
Totally.
Right now, does the person know the idea or not? But also, why isn't just being a shikra over the other then?
Yeah, a lot of people right. do this.
Just have just shikras.
Mevavel
the das. Now you're gonna have kfirasa emes hodah b'sheker, right? The Ram seems to have a different track over here. He's saying shikra al yisfalo mishain lo kavana. This is in tefila perik gedalet halacha yedayim. A shikr can't daven because he has no kavana. V'mispalel tefila so toleva. L'fika chozer mispalel kishe yisronin mishikruso. So he has to daven again. Shosli al yisbalel v'mispalel tefila so tefila. But if a guy is a shosli, he's not supposed to daven, but it would be a tefila b'diavad. Eizehu shikr v'eizehu shosli. Shikr zeh she'en yichol l'davel f'nei ha'melech. V'shosli zeh she'yochol l'davel f'nei ha'melech v'eino m'shtabish. Afalpikin hol v'shosli revius yayin lo yisbalel. Ad she'yasir yeino me'olav. Yeah, so which one?
No, I'm saying like that seems to be putting emphasis on the inability to have kavanas aleiv. Here it seems to be that you can have kavanas aleiv, but you're also going to lapse into this.
Right here, he's saying halachically speaking, you need kavana. So if you don't have the ability to have kavana, so then like you said, these are the hachanos of these are the makin. So kavanas aleiv is one of the things. So if a guy is not able to formulate his thoughts and speak properly, then he's mishtabesh. So then he doesn't have the maisa. And to do a tefillah like that is a toeva.
Is that the same person or the song that here? It's kilo labor reserve for that guy. Or?
I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe this guy worse than him.
Demionos kozbin, I thought means like demionos are like imaginations.
Right.
Right. So I thought like when he said you're demionos kozbin, is he talking about like actual? Like
hallucinations?
Yeah, like thinking you're seeing things.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he means literally seeing things. Mm. I don't know.
Because he does a year, like
that's true. Right.
Not just he's going to believe false ideas.
Well, what does he say at the end though? Should we talk Bilbo Daito Yovo Lidimionos? Because I mean the same thing. He'll see things. Not and sure. That's Avodah Zarah Be'emes. So it seems to me like this. So what is Avodah Zarah Be'emes? It is if a guy is just a shikr and he has crazy ideas and whatever, he thinks Haman is good and Mordechai is bad. So that's definitely in Bilbul Das and Kfir Be'emes and Hodah B'Sheker. But that's not Avodah Zarah. That's not a vazar. He's saying what the Gemara is telling you is it's specifically a problem with tefillah, because by tefillah you're putting yourself in a state of omid lefnei Hashem. In other words, you're involved in an action of recognizing the ultimate reality and serving that reality. So it's a ma'isa of avoda. So he says that's really what is really avoda zara, when you're really worshiping and serving a projection of your own imagination. The difference between I have a crazy thought and maybe I think something is true, but that's a casual type of a thing. But avoda zara is where you're putting that. As a you're ranking it and you're really analyzing it and you're really doing an action towards bringing it out as a reality. People have all kinds of thoughts, but it's only avodah zarah when, like we were discussing a couple weeks ago on Tuesday night, avodah really means where the idea of avodah is where you have a certain ideal, a certain reality that you see to be true, and you do actions to bring that reality to bring that reality out, to further that reality, to establish it. and to actualize, to make it real to you. That's what avoda is in general. That's what we mean by avoda in terms of avodas alei, avoda in terms of Torah, and avodas are also that way. Where you take a fiction, figment of your imagination, and you build temples to it, and you try to express its reality. So he's saying, in the state of avoda, in the state of omed lifnei Hashem, that's where we have to be extremely careful about your ideas, because once you're already in that process, and you're engaged in meditating on the ultimate realities, if at that point some false idea creeps in, then it will be mamash avodah zarah, he's saying. That is really mamash, what the process of avodah zarah is. It's to subjugate yourself to a false notion and elevate it to a position of reality. That's in the process of tefillah. You're concentrating on what is, you're supposed to be concentrating on what is the ultimate reality, and recognizing it is subjugating yourself to it and being molded to it. So if in that process you go into it in a state where there's a bilbul hadas, then you're liable to elevate a falsehood to that position, which is mamash like a vazar. I mean, that's like we said, like when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you can't have any other thought. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, everybody has wrong ideas. Certainly, if you go back far enough, even Avraham, right? Okay, he was 3 when he started realizing that. But everybody has wrong ideas at some point. And even when people have right ideas and they daven in the mispala with the right ideas, sometimes on the side they'll maybe an idea will cross their mind and they'll hold it for a few minutes, whatever it is. But that's a process of thinking things through. But avoda is different. Avoda is a different thing. I mean, the person has to be free to be able to think about things, and you have to question your thoughts. And it's possible that maybe you slip up once in a while and you get a. Maybe we slip up once in a while and we get a bad idea. But, yeah, I know. Some people aren't familiar with that. But that's not a standard we can expect. But tefillah is different. Tefillah is different. Tefillah, you can only concentrate on the ideas that you know absolutely to be true, and you can't experiment with with new ideas over there. Yeah. Let me get back to you in a minute. But this is what Ken was saying before. Let's just discuss this a little further. And so he's saying an interesting point also, though. He's saying that it's possible the person has the right ideas, right? He has the right ideas in his sobriety. So where do these false ideas creep in from? Right? Mm-hmm. So it means to say that even the person who recognizes intellectually something that's true, like you were saying, when you're drunk, a certain amount of the intellectual part of you is suppressed, and it lets out a certain amount of the hidden part, right? The part that you normally keep, whether you're conscious of it or not, is suppressed in the face of your intellect. But the point is, there are still both of those. You still have both of those sides of you. Even the person who has intellectual knowledge still has a certain underlying, non-intellectual basis of belief, right? And when you're drunk, that takes over. That part of you comes out more. So even though the person has the right ideas intellectually, in the state of shikras, it's still possible that his intellectual faculty is suppressed, and therefore thoughts that he would normally be able to discount right away because of the filter of his mind, because of intellectual, his intellect would recognize that they're false, in the state of shikras, they can rise to a position of conviction in his mind. And that's an interesting thing. That means to say that you have to view the person in his state of, in his conviction. Right? You say that even though if he were sober, he would recognize that this is all false. And when he sobers up, he'll look back and say, that was nonsense what I was thinking, right? But that doesn't matter. At that moment, he is a person operating with a conviction of falsehood. And that still is you don't say that, well, this is all just a distortion. In reality, he doesn't believe any of this. So it's not a Maisa of Azar.
Omid Lifnei Hashem is in real time.
Omid Lifnei Hashem, right, is in real time. At this moment, he's a person, right, who is controlled by this idea, and that makes it a Maisa of Azar.
It was an element of him that's still there.
What's that?
Must be an element of him that's still there.
Yeah.
If it's possible there's a...
I mean, we know the Mishnah in the Bracha says that the Chassid and the Shalom sit for an hour before the Tefillah.
Right.
They were working on... but that implies that you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
It's not a Avodah Zarah if a person doesn't do that. So that's a good question. What has Ram classified the Kavana? Just that you're... The Rambam says, so you have to empty your mind of all thoughts. And you have to view yourself like you're standing before the Shechina. Now, what is the Shechina?
So he does have the requirement.
A little bit.
Right.
That's why you say Ashrei.
Right. The hour
all
is.
Those other things. Right.
The hour is the Chassidus, but
right. Right. And then, but the hour, the afterwards is different. Lo yasat filoso kamisha who knows a masli, mashlicha volichlo. Shouldn't be like you toss it and you go.
That's interesting. It's interesting that that's even a halakha in Kavana. That doesn't even have to do with Kavana.
Doesn't seem like it. I know. And then he says, Chassidim Rishonim Hayu Shoah and Shoah Kodem Tefillah, Shoah Achar Tefillah, Merachim Tefillah, Shoah. Right. That doesn't sound like a Kavana part. The Kavana, Ketzi, Kavana is the first part. And then he says, V'lo Yasa Tefillah So Kami Shoah Yanose Masuk. I don't know. That fit in with Kavana, or is it just the proper place to put this over? So what's the Kavana after Tefillah? What were they doing for an hour after Tefillah? So what were they doing for an hour after Tefillah? No, what were they doing, really? So it means to say like this, that there's a preparation for Tefillah. There's a preparation for Tefillah. That's what we're discussing now, right? There's a preparation for Tefillah. Then that's to remove all the improper thoughts from your mind. What does it mean like you're lifnei Ashchina? Right? This we discussed also. What does it mean to be lifnei Ashchina? What does Shechina mean? What is Shechina? What is Shechina? So Shechina is some manifestation of Hashkacha. Right? It's a manifestation of a certain idea of that God is relating to man, as we say that the Mikdash is like the Makom of the Shechina. It manifests the relationship between God and man. So, but it was an actual physical thing that a person saw. Whatever Ram discusses, what it is, a physical thing covered Nivra, different things. But the point is. When a person saw the Shechina, he was in a state of recognition of the God. There's a certain state that a person is in when he sees a manifestation of the reality of God. Right. So lifnei Ashchina, that's what it means. I mean, that's the state you should be in. You sort of remove yourself from, remove other thoughts from your mind, and try to put yourself in a state as if you were before a manifestation of the ultimate reality. It has a certain impact on you.
Right. It seems like if a person who immediately leaves davening, leaves his state of feeling, goes off on his own thing, that's going to In other words, a person who has kavana would not do that.
It's like follow
right?
through.
I mean
it's like follow through. That's what I'm wondering. Is this a follow through? Like when you hit the ball, they tell you follow through. No, that's what he means, right? Say so why? What's the point of following through? Because if you don't follow through, that means you held back a little, right?
Yeah.
You got to have the full power at the point of impact. That means you necessarily have to follow through. Not because the follow through. All right, if the bat were to disappear the second you hit the ball, it wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah.
But the point is, you can't hit with all your power unless you follow through. So you got to sort of like aim to after the ball. And that's the way to get the power through the ball. So is it like that? If you don't, if you're aiming to cut out right afterwards, then that means you're not, means you're sort of holding back in the tefillah.
An hour is a long time.
An hour is a long time. But isn't that sort of what you're saying in Derech Marshall? That means you didn't do the Maisa right if you don't follow it through, because it has to result. Well, it would be like if we look at the perfect thing, we say it would have to result in a certain period after the Maisa. So,
I mean, once Halacha is setting up Hachana for Kavana, there's a Hachana that occurs before and there's a Hachana that occurs after in order to, you know, to. I mean, in other words, it's not just have Kavana. There are Halachos about Hachana for Kavana here.
Right.
And once Halacha is setting that up, it's gonna have to account for both, because both would affect your ability to have Kavana.
But let me give you another possibility, just to think it through a little bit. In other words, if you hold that Tefillah itself is a certain, that in the process of Tefillah, it's different than just thinking about ideas. And there's a certain, let's say there's a certain concentration of energy in the process of tefillah that is different than the process of the hachana. Right? In other words, there's, you can't do the thing all the time and you don't prepare all the time. There's got to be a certain, there's a difference between the preparing and the doing. Right? But so the preparing is that you're removing all of the improper thoughts. Right? And that's his hachana, right? That's the hachana. Yifana libo mikol machshavos. Yeah. Oh, that's the kavana. That's the kavana. Well, that has to be the hachana, no?
Yeah.
Yifana libo mikol machshavos. Well, in terms of hachana, actually, he says later on, no, you should look at yourself like you're bashamayim, like you're omid bashamayim.
That's
tikkun aguf. But that's like a preparation for the ma'aseh of tefillah.
Well, you finally even call if the person just. See, I mean, doesn't it sound like you finally even call machshavos?
The year atzmo kilo mechnei hashchina. Right. But why is he putting this into leishev maat? Mefikach tzarach leishev maat kadam tefillah kedei lechaven es libo.
Right. That's what I'm about to
hear. Right. And there's a certain amount of preparation. So, in other words, the ma'aseh tefillah is a certain act, is a certain concentration. Because the act of tefillah brings you to a higher recognition of things. Because if you understand it, that you have to prepare properly for the ma'aseh, right, before tefillah. You can't just, it's not something you can just jump into. You have to be prepared for the activity, but the activity itself really is it really brings you out and brings closer to mind certain ideas. So then afterwards you have to think about those a little bit. In other words, if you look at tefillah like a process where you actually are gaining, then it makes sense to say that there's a certain amount of preparation for the activity, then there's the activity itself, and then if a person would just leave it, it would imply that whatever he just did didn't have any, didn't really have any gain. To sit afterwards and to think now is to incorporate what you got from the Maisa into a certain normal reality to you. In other words, there's a certain reality that you gain in the activity. That's a certain intense process of Omid Lefnei Hashem. But then there's what can you retain from that? How do you How do you... You have to think about what you did, because what you did was a certain process, certain maisa.
That sounds more like a halacha in how you relate to tefillah as a whole, as opposed to a specific commercial. Okay.
I don't think he's saying that the after process is not part of Kavanas Aleiv. I don't think the after process is part of Kavanas Aleiv.
Why is he mentioning it here?
Because it has to do with what the nature of tefillah is. It has an after effect on you. In other words, the process of tefillah. If you look at tefillah like if you look at avodah, like we were saying before, like something I do for God, right? So then I did it. I'm done. Goodbye. If avodah is something that works on you and helps you to develop and see things deeper, then after I do it, there was a gain that I should now contemplate and incorporate and see what I can glean from in a more permanent, to add it to my permanent outlook on things. So if the Kavanas Halev of Tefillah is one that... Because if the kavana salev, if the kavana of tefillah is to do for God, then there's no after effect or something like that. There is nothing afterwards. I punched in, I punched out. Right? If it's something that brings you to a higher level of, if it's a process that you should be involved in, and it affects you, and it really helps you to, with the proper kavana, it will really help you to work and maybe see things better, then it is something that has an after effect. If it has an after effect, that's what the Chassidim HaRishonim were showing you. It was something that requires a certain state to do, and the thing that you do is really is a progress in yourself. Anything that mentally, a mental work that you has a certain process requires a certain, like a chazara. So without the chazara, you're losing it.
So like the Shabbos.
What do you mean?
You have in the mashal of the melech coming, so you have a chana. You just you don't not prepare when the melech come. When the melech leave, after spending 24 hours in the melech,
you escort the melech.
You just can't go back to there's no way to just stop. He left and that's it. There's an after effect.
Right. That's like saying the presence of the king is so important, I prepare for him and I escort him out. Right, that's true. But here we're saying it's also in terms of you're not lifnei Hashem anymore, but the state of lifnei Hashem was an avodah that really was not an avodah of like punching in and punching out. It's an avodah that helps the person himself in his own knowledge.
This really is more analogous to chazara, right?
Yeah.
In other words, you have to reflect on the experience of tefillah and allow it to shape you.
Exactly.
After you're done with the activity,
right? Not like a masoi. A masoi means it's a job I did for the guy. Here's your stuff, I'm out of here. What's the point in hanging around? It's for you, I did it for you, and I am not involved anymore. I'm just an agent.
What are you thinking about and reflecting on?
Afterwards?
Yeah, what's the nature of this game?
It would be like in any type of thing, any intellectual endeavor, there's a certain amount of the intellectual work, and then there is, and that produces things, but then there's a certain amount of reflecting back and seeing how these things relate to each other, how these things fit in with other things, you know, to go over them and anytime you think about something,
because you're like learning an idea though.
Yeah.
You're learning an idea in the process of,
That's what we have to think about. It seems like he's saying that would be an explanation of the idea of the hour before and the hour afterwards.
I just don't know how that
I mean, practically speaking, what would it mean? I think it has to do with this idea that we're discussing now, that there's a certain refining of your ideas. Now let's think about it a little bit. I mean, it's true. We're not really putting any specifics in these. I mean, like he mentioned earlier, like there's an idea of a melech that you have to recognize in tefillah that your needs come from God. And in our daily life, we're fixated on the immediate causes of things. You know, engaging in the immediate causes. And tefillah, you step out and you it's a break from what you're saturated in, and you have to recognize the certain the ultimate cause of things. That was the mashal with the standing with your feet together and your hands together, right? So there is a certain amount of depth to that idea, and there's a certain amount of depth to that recognition. And the more you do it, you could add to it. If you did it every day and then you just ran away from it, you'd basically just be repeating the same process.